Okay, it's time to start.
What are we going to do, celebrate?
We're gonna celebrate the Lord tonight.
Yes.
All right.
I believe he did it.
He did. He did do it. He did do it. Yep.
He did do it, because I've been praying.
Should we pray?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are so good to us, Lord. We do thank you for your blessings upon us, the grace that you show us, even though we so don't deserve it. Lord, we do thank you for your word to us, your promises to us. Lord, the things that you educate us about concerning who you are, who we are, and even the world around us. And Lord, I do ask your blessing upon our evening tonight. Lord, just as this is a topic that we're going to look at tonight, that I know after I first trusted in your Son, it was completely and utterly foreign to me. I'd never heard anything like it before in my life. And Lord, I can't help but think that there might be some here tonight that have never heard your word put forth like this, and what we're going to look at. So I do just ask, Lord, that you would open hearts and minds to what we read from your word tonight, that you would open hearts and minds to really the tactics of our adversary and what he is trying to accomplish in this world. So, Lord, that we can avoid it and counter it. And Father, we just give our evening over to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So what did we talk about last week? Okay. I've heard a couple answers. None of them were right yet. What was it? I heard it.
Atheism.
Okay. We talked about atheism last week. And tonight, our topic fits hand in hand. In fact, we actually connected what we looked at last week to what we're going to look at this week. We made that connection last week already. Last week, we did look at atheism, which is the disbelief in any form of God. Tonight's topic is evolution. And evolution is probably the greatest support that atheism would claim to have. Without the theory of evolution, at least as the world sees it, atheism has no evidential ground to stand on. Okay, and tonight we're actually going to very plainly yank the ground right out from under it. We're going to very plainly see that evolution, as the world sees it, is a doctrine of demons. It's designed to keep people from the truth of God. Now, the very first thing that we need to understand is that there are two kinds of evolution. Okay, you don't hear that so much in the world, but there are two kinds. You can look it up. It's everywhere, very well known. Two kinds of evolution. There is microevolution and there is macroevolution. Microevolution is minor changes within species. They're adaptations within species that build adaptations really in the build of a species that might happen as a result of their particular environment. Birds may grow bigger and stronger beaks as a result of food that is more difficult to come by. The metabolism of insects may become resistant to certain chemicals, okay? Immune systems may adapt with exposure to certain viruses. There is lots of observable evidence that microevolution happens. Again, it's minor changes within a species to adapt to an environment. And I believe in microevolution. It's very observable. But then there's macroevolution. Macroevolution is the belief that one species can change into another species. That whales descended from cows. That birds descended from dinosaurs. That man descended from apes. And with that, the worldly belief is that microevolution leads to macroevolution. All right, that's what they observe, the minor changes within species, but expand on that and then claim that that developed into macroevolution, and that is one species changing into another. And before we get into the doctrine, before we get into the allure, before we get into the truth, I want us to understand why we're looking at this topic. And I just have six quick reasons for you why we're going to look at this topic. Number one, evolution was designed by the devil to turn agnostics into atheists. Okay, it was designed by the devil to turn agnostics into atheists, to convince those who were not sure, all right, to convince those, and I'm using agnostic in a very broad term, because some agnostics, they say there could be a God. And I will tell you that people in most of the religions of the world often have that opinion. They're not certain of what they believe. They could be, maybe it couldn't be. All right, so anyway, the evolution was designed by the devil to turn agnostics into atheists, to convince those who are on the fence spiritually that there is no spirit. It's the devil's way of trying to basically lock people in. Evolution was designed to turn agnostics into atheists. Number two, evolution is one of the greatest lies the devil has ever designed. He not only created a claim that is not true, but he points to evidence that is not there to generate a story that eliminates God and affirms through one word that the world equates with truth, and that word is science. Okay? So he not only created a claim that's not true, but he has pointed to evidence that isn't there to generate a story that eliminates God, and he affirms it through the word science. So, in essence, through evolution, the devil elevated his lie to an irrefutable truth as the world sees it. All right? Therefore, number three, evolution is the devil's most widely accepted teaching in modern times. I want to read you an article. It's from Slate.com, and I don't even know. I believe it's an evolutionary type website. But the headline is this: evolution is finally winning out over creationism. And here's the subtitle: a majority of young people endorse the scientific explanation of how humans evolved. Here's what the article says, and this isn't the whole thing, but part of it. It says, few issues have divided the American public as bitterly as Charles Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection. Since On the Origin of Species was published in 1859, it has driven a wedge between those who accept that humans and this planet's other inhabitants have evolved over time and those who believe that our species was created in its current form with no alterations. While the majority of people in Europe and in many other parts of the world accept evolution, the article says the United States lags behind. They say today 4 in 10 adults in America believe that humans have existed in our present form since the beginning of time. And he says in many religious groups that number is even higher. He says this is woeful. Now, at long last, there seems to be hope, he says. National polls show that creationism is beginning to falter, and Americans are finally starting to move in favor of evolution. After decades of legal battles, resistance to science, and a deeply rooted cultural divide, evolution may be poised to win out once and for all. The people responsible for this shift are young. According to a recent Pew Research Center report, 73% of American adults younger than 30 express some sort of belief in evolution. That is a jump from 61% in 2009. In other words, if you ask a younger American how humans arose, you're likely to get an answer that has nothing to do with God. So evolution is one of the devil's most widely accepted teachings in modern times. That's why we need to look at it. Number four, evolution is far and away the greatest support that atheism has. What better way to eliminate the creator than to explain away his creation? It's such a clever teaching that number five, evolution can make spiritual people unspiritual. It's a newspaper article. The headline here says, Pope Francis says, evolution is real. God is no magician. Later in the article, it says here, even Pope Francis' more conservative predecessor, Pope Benedict XVI, espoused this view and found the American debate between creationists and those who backed evolution absurd. He asked in 2007 why those who believe in the Creator would not be able to conceive of evolution. Evolution is such an influential teaching that number six, evolution has even infiltrated the church. Okay, there are those in the church that believe in what is called the day-age theory. Some people call it theistic evolution. And they believe that each day of creation, as listed in Genesis chapter 1, they believe that each day of creation could be anywhere from 1,000 years to millions of years. Okay, therefore, they're basically incorporating evolution in their biblical belief. Well, that belief really generates some huge problems. Okay, and I'm just going to list a few here. If each day of creation is not a literal day, but as they would call it, thousands of years or maybe millions of years, that would mean that vegetation lived on the earth 1,000 to 1 million years before photosynthesis. Okay, think about that. Before photosynthesis, that means that any flowering vegetation had to live on the earth for 3,000 to millions of years without pollination. Okay? Because vegetation was created on day 3, according to the account, the sun on day 4, and pollinating insects on day 6. So evolution has even infiltrated the church, and the devil uses it to keep people not only from Christ, but even causes doubt in those who know him. That's the teaching of evolution, and while we could spend months on this topic, literally we could spend a long time on this topic, I'm going to cover it in 30 minutes. All right? No, there is. We're very limited as to what we're going to talk about here tonight. We're going to look at the doctrine, the allure, and the truth, okay? But here's the doctrine. Here's the doctrine. Life was not created by God. That's the doctrine. That is what the devil is wanting people to believe so that they won't believe in their Creator. And instead, this doctrine, what it teaches, since life was not created by God, it teaches that life sprung up by chance. All right. Now, I know a lot of you have heard this information before, and I hope it doesn't bore you, okay? But this is, I think it's important to emphasize. I think it's important to go over, important to be reminded about. All right, so their first teaching then is life sprung up by chance, either on this planet or carried here via a comet or a meteor or something else. But either way, its origin, evolution says, life's origin came because just the right elements came together at just the right time under just the right circumstances, and life started. Now, I don't know how that might be explained. And what's interesting is neither does anybody else. Neither does anybody else. Okay, so life sprung up by chance. Then, life adapted to its environment. Upon these non-living elements somehow coming to life over millions and millions of years, they also multiplied and began to adapt so they could survive varying situations and environments. Now, I don't know how that might be explained, and neither does anybody else. Thirdly, they say life evolved into all of the species of the earth. All right. This is what evolution teaches. This is nothing new to any of us. Life not only descended from non-life, but over the course of millions of more years, both wood and flesh descended from the same cells. Over the course of millions of more years, whales descended from cows, birds descended from dinosaurs, and man descended from apes. So all living things are here because what is naturally impossible naturally happened. That's the theory of evolution. I don't know how that might be explained, and neither does anyone else. Evolutionists can't explain these things either. It is a theory. It is a theory. But the doctrine is life was not created by God. That's the doctrine of evolution. So, what is the allure? You tell me. What is it that is attractive about evolution, Ron?
Well, if they can prove that evolution is true, like you said, there's no need to believe in a creator, which means now we don't have to be responsible or held in judgment
okay.
by a creator.
Goes right back to the atheism study that we did last year. No God that we're accountable, no reason to please him or anybody else except ourself. Other, Jeff.
Well, if we're evolving, then you always have the hope that we're going to be getting better and better and better. And that you hear about it. It's just that we're going to, sometime in the future, we're just going to be perfect in this utopian society and everything else. And you go, had thousands of years and we're still in the same position.
Right. Well, we're going to learn here in a minute that's because you and I are holding everybody back. All right. Us backwards Christians, we're holding everybody back. We're going to see that in a minute. Other things that are alluring.
By the way they teach you, it makes it very believable.
Okay.
Especially like in the books in school and stuff like that with dinosaurs and birds, they share a lot of the same characteristics.
Okay.
Ron?
Well, as a scientist who talks about evolution, it makes them feel more intelligent than people who don't believe in that sort of thing.
Okay.
Kind of that superiority of that knowledge, of how we came about.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, connected to atheism, intelligent people are atheists. Ernest Hemingway said, all thinking men are atheists.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff?
You know, it's building on what Ron said. It's the way it's presented. You start in the schools, young, and it's not the theory anymore. It's, this is proven.
Right.
I mean, I've had discussions with people, and they go, all the evidence is there. It's proven. You go, where? Where did you hear that? Well, then it breaks down.
Yeah.
But they were told over and over and over again, and they just assume it's all there. Because
for sure.
Because they're a scientist.
And that's like I shared in the opening prayer is, when I first heard the creation account, When I first heard the creation account, it was completely and utterly foreign to me. I'd never, you know, I'd heard about the story in Genesis chapter 1, but I'd never heard anyone say that it's literal. And it's because I'd been taught all my life only the one line of thought. Okay? Any other things that you can think of that would be alluring about it? All right, with that, I have a video I want to show you.
No, we don't need lights off.
Denial of evolution is unique to the United States. I mean, we are the world's most advanced technological. So, I mean, you could say Japan. But generally, the United States is where most of the innovation still happens. People still move to the United States. And that's largely because of the intellectual capital we have, the general understanding of science. When you have a portion of the population that doesn't believe in that, it holds everybody back, really. Evolution is the fundamental idea in all of life science, in all of biology. It's like, it's very much analogous to trying to do geology without believing in tectonic plates. You're just not going to get the right answer. Your whole world is just going to be a mystery instead of an exciting place. As my old professor Carl Sagan said, when you're in love, you want to tell the world. So once in a while, I get people that really, that claim they don't believe in evolution. And my response generally is, why not? Really, why not? Your world just becomes fantastically complicated when you don't believe in evolution. I mean, here are these ancient dinosaur bones or fossils. Here is radioactivity. Here are distant stars that are just like our star, but that are a different point in their life cycle. The idea of deep time, of this of billions of years, explains so much of the world around us. If you try to ignore that, your worldview just becomes crazy. It's just untenable, itself inconsistent. And I say to the grown-ups, if you want to deny evolution and live in your world that's completely inconsistent with everything we observe in the universe, that's fine. But don't make your kids do it, because we need them. We need scientifically literate voters and taxpayers for the future. We need people that can, we need engineers that can build stuff, solve problems. It's just really a hard thing. It's really a hard thing. You know, in another couple centuries, that worldview, I'm sure, will be, it just won't exist. I mean, it's there's no evidence for it, so.
Respected guy in the science world. Respected guy in the science world. Bill Nye the Science Guy. He actually used to have a program on TV for kids that was very fun to watch, very educational for the most part. But what is the allure? I mean, think about this. Who doesn't want to be as cool, confident, and intellectual as Bill Nye? And arrogant. I don't want to poke fun of him, but this video contains some very, very arrogant statements, okay? Some of the most arrogant statements I think I've ever heard. If you parents, if you want to believe in God, go ahead, but don't tell your kids about him, because we need your kids. We need your kids, okay? Arrogance. Here's the allure. Number one, evolution is proclaimed as scientific fact. We want the truth, don't we? We want fact. And when something is proclaimed as fact, we're drawn to it. If you go to Google, just like I did, and you type in the words, how life started, just like I did, here is the first thing that comes up. And I want you to listen close to the wording. It's a very short statement, but listen. This is the first thing that came up as I typed that in, how life started. Here it is. The age of the Earth is about 4.54 billion years old. The earliest undisputed evidence of life on Earth dates from at least 3.5 billion years ago. Well, I'm disputing it. So it's not, but they put it forth. This is scientific fact, period, okay? They say it's undisputed. So evolution is proclaimed a scientific fact. It is widely believed. Everybody's doing it, except those stupid backwards Christians in America, apparently, okay? It's widely believed. It is mandated. It is mandated. It is demanded that people believe it. If I don't believe it, I will be mocked. I will be shunned. I will be considered an idiot by the so-called scientific community. If I don't believe it, apparently, I am holding the rest of the world back. Just think how much further we could have evolved if it weren't for us Christians holding everybody back. It's like no student left behind on a worldwide scale. I don't want that kind of responsibility, okay? Number four, it's the only way to be smart. According to Bill Nye, only evolutionists can become engineers and physicists. That's it. Like he says, like we didn't have any before. Without the evolutionistic worldview, nothing makes sense, he says. And I guess that would explain why Christians like Sir Isaac Newton, Robert Boyle, Michael Faraday, Johann Sebastian Bach, George Washington, Johannes Kepler, and even Ben Carson are on the list of some of the most brilliant people in history. I guess that would explain why the most advanced and civilized societies the world has ever known were founded on Christian creationistic principles. So what is the truth? That's the allure, okay? It's the only way to be smart. What was the other ones? Okay, evolution is proclaimed a scientific fact. It's widely believed. It's mandated. It's the only way to be smart. So what's the truth? Open your Bibles, please, to Genesis 1:1, and this is a passage we looked at last week. Absolutely. In fact, other than a couple other passages that we're going to read, you don't even need to turn to 1:1 because you got it memorized, I'm sure. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So here's the truth of the matter tonight. Okay, the truth is, God is the original cause of everything. And I know we talked about this last week, but both creationism and evolution come to a point in the past where there has to be an original cause that has always existed. Evolution says that it is dense matter, all right? They say that dense matter is the original cause, but it doesn't answer the question of where that dense matter came from, or why or how it could have always existed, nor how it eventually turned into life. Creationism says that God is the original cause because God has always existed. And if you're going to ask me, which is the more plausible answer for where I came from, this being one of my choices, and God being the other, I'm going to have to say God. God is the only logically, scientifically evidential answer. God must be the original cause of everything because this rock can't be. It can't be. The truth is, God is the original cause of everything. The truth is, evolution steals glory from God. And really, that is what the adversary, the devil, is all about anyway. Anything that will steal glory from Creator God is what he promotes in the world. I want you to listen to two quotes about evolution and nature. The first one is right from our video. Bill Nye says, Evolution is the fundamental idea in all of life science and in all of biology. All right, there's one quote. E.O. Wilson says, "Nature holds the key to our aesthetic, intellectual, cognitive, and even spiritual satisfaction." Evolution, it's stealing the glory. It's stealing the glory from God, because God is the fundamental idea in all of life science, in all of biology. God is. It's God who holds the key to our aesthetic, intellectual, cognitive, and even spiritual satisfaction. So the truth is, evolution is designed to steal glory from God. The truth is, God created the universe in 6 literal days. Okay? The original word in the Hebrew for day, as it is used in the first 27 verses of Genesis chapter 1, is the word yom. All right? And when it is used, when that word is used in a literal sense, as it is in our passage, it means one literal 24-hour day. So according to God Himself, the universe was created in six literal 24-hour days. All right? The truth is, the only reason to think otherwise is to accommodate the theory of evolution. That is the only reason to think otherwise is to accommodate the theory of evolution. 200 years ago, only 200 years ago, this conversation that we're having today would not even exist. Everyone who believed the Bible believed in six literal days, as God says. And the only reason to think otherwise is to accommodate that popular worldview of evolution. The truth is, God spoke life into existence. We've got time. Let me just show you a few passages here. Turn to Hebrews. In fact, keep a marker in Genesis. I guess Genesis 1 isn't hard to find again. But turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And we're just going to read a couple different passages of Scripture here. Hebrews chapter 11. And I just want to look at some statements right from God's Word concerning God speaking life into existence. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." God spoke it all into existence. It wasn't visible. God spoke, and it was visible. All right? So God spoke life into existence. Turn to another one, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." There's actually redundance happening in those few short words to emphasize the fact that if it exists, God made it. Okay? If it exists, God made it. One more. It's in Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. If you hit Jeremiah, go backwards. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 12. Is God speaking? He says, "I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens and all their hosts I have commanded. All right? So, God, the reason anything exists is because of God. God spoke life into existence. The truth is, God created each species of life individually. If you want to turn back to Genesis 1 now, we're going to look at another passage there in a minute. But the truth is, God created each species of life individually. Day 3, he created vegetation. Day 5, sea creatures and air creatures. Day 6, all land creatures and human life. So the truth is, God created each species individually, just like it says here in his word. The truth is, God created man in his own image. Look at verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground." So everything was there. Everything was there when man was there. Now, this doesn't mean, as we look at this and see that we were created in the image of God, it doesn't mean that we look like God. Okay, that's not what the wording here even implies. This means that we have personality like God. Like God, we have intellect. All right? We can reason. We can make choices. Even when it goes against what our nature might want to do, we can make choices that even counter what we might call instinct, okay? That's intellect. Intellect allows us to create, to build, to write, to express emotions on paper and through music and art. We have also, along with intellect, we have emotion. We can feel pain and joy even from words and expressions of art and music. And then we have a will. We can decide between good and bad, right and wrong, logic or illogic, okay? Because God created us in his image.
Why wouldn't we look like him then?
He's spirit, for one thing. He is spirit. In fact, as Jesus came, he was created in our image, basically, became flesh like us to identify with us. So he was something else, spirit. Yeah.
I would rather believe we look like him.
Okay, that is your choice, Bonnie. That's your choice, but you'd be wrong. All right, moving on here. But the wording here, as far as being created in his image, it's actually specifically speaking about our personality, the fact that we are different from the animal kingdom. We have intellect, we have a will, we have emotion. That is what it's talking about there. All right, so God created man in his own image. The next thing, the truth is, the universe is about 6,000 years old. And I will just tell you again that the first time I heard those words come out of somebody's mouth, I thought they were gone bonkers. I'd never heard anything like that before in my life. It's because I'd only ever heard the other side of things. But as we count backwards through God's word, I mean, we know when the Lord Jesus came to earth. We know his descendants. As we count back in time through Scripture, when we come to Adam and Eve, we are at right around 6,000 years. That's where we're at, okay? But that is minute compared to the billions and billions lived believed by evolutions, okay? And the only reason, again, the only reason to think any different is because of the peer pressure, really, of the evolutionistic worldview. But math is pretty accurate, isn't it? All right? We count backwards. Math shows us that it is approximately 6,000 years old. The truth is, and this is a long one, okay? The truth is, there is no evidence for evolution. There is no evidence for evolution, and I'm going to give you nine facts that our adversary does not want people to know about the evidence that is put forth concerning evolution. All right, number one, or I'm going to letter them A, okay? A is, there is no evidence of one species evolving into another. There is no evidence whatsoever. Yes, they have found variations within species, humans with bigger jawbones, apes with smaller jawbones, but that, if you remember, that's microevolution, okay? That is common to environments. But for a dinosaur to evolve into a bird, just looking at the aspect of bone density alone, okay? For a dinosaur to evolve into a bird, there would have to be thousands of fossils that show the changing density through the years. In fact, there would be more fossils of the transitionary phases than there would be of dinosaurs and birds. All right? There would be more transit. In fact, the transitionary the difference would be exponential. And it's not like, even evolutionists would disagree with this, okay? It's not like two dinos mated, laid an egg, and out came a bird. All right? The missing link, have you heard that terminology? There isn't just one missing link. It's thousands of missing links. Okay? Really, by evolutionary standards, millions of links that are missing. There is no evidence of one species evolving into another. For if there were, again, transitionary fossils would outnumber fossils of species exponentially. So there is no physical observable evidence of one species evolving into another. B, life has been anatomized but not duplicated. Life has been anatomized but not duplicated. In other words, we have discovered the basic building blocks of life. I'm not going to call it life. I'm going to call it a human body or a body, okay? We've discovered, we know the basic ingredients, if you will, of what we are made of. From DNA to RNA to the very base elements. Life has been anatomized. It's been broken down into its most basic forms. But never has anyone ever been able to take those ingredients, put them together in a bowl, and make them come to life. We know exactly what the ingredients are. Nobody's ever taken those ingredients again, put them in a bowl, and made them come to life. Evolution says that we are star stuff. Okay, we are simply the elements on the periodic table. Water, carbon, sodium, so on. But never has anyone been able to take those elements and duplicate what they say happened by accident in some primordial pool billions of years ago. Life has been anatomized, but it has never been duplicated. Evolution can't explain it. C, life can't come from non-life. It only comes from God. If you're in Genesis, go to chapter 2, and let's look at verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust. Okay, there's the elements. There's the elements we're made of. Formed man from the dust of the ground, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You see, life can't come from non-life. It only comes from God. Let me read to you a few other passages of Scripture. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Nehemiah 9:6 says, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven and the heaven of heavens with their hosts, the earth and everything in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you give life to them all. Because life can't come from non-life. D. Evolution cannot explain intellect, emotion, and will. Okay? It can't explain why or how it exists. It can't explain why living things that don't have it exist. It can't explain why we do have it. Realizing this, it actually tries to explain it away too, because one of the basic tenets of atheism and evolution is that there is no such thing as free will. So, because it can't explain how it exists, they just decided to say that it doesn't exist, and if they state it long enough, people are going to believe it too. God explains it again, Genesis 1:27. Going backwards now, Roger. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So evolution cannot explain intellect, emotion, and will. Evolution, number E, cannot explain language. Why isn't there at least one of our so-called cousins that has a spoken language? If we're not so far removed from our cousins, why isn't there at least one that doesn't have has a language? Evolution can't explain it. Here's another fact the devil doesn't want you to know. The evolutionary, and I'm going to, if you want to do more research on this, I'd encourage you to do so. But I'm going to specifically say the evolutionary geologic column, as listed right here, does not exist. It doesn't exist anywhere in the world. No place in the world does this exist. The evolutionary geologic column, and I'm describing it that way specifically, the evolutionary geologic column, because there are other geologic columns. In fact, the first geologic columns were designed by creationists, and all it did, it was map out the sediment of different parts of the earth over periods of time. They never described it as millions or billions of years, and they never described it like this. But the evolutionary geologic column is supposed to demonstrate that the deeper one digs, the older the fossils will be. The Grand Canyon is often used to illustrate it. However, once again, no place in the Grand Canyon nor in the entire world does the evolutionary geologic column exist in the order that it is supposed to exist. Varying fossils have been found at all depths. See how they have them so neatly layered out here? Well, these guys have been found up there, and those guys have been found down here. Okay? So the evolutionary geologic column does not exist in nature. G. Radiometric dating is never consistent. Radiometric dating is never consistent. Yet, and this is a statement right from a radiometric dating website. It states that radiometric dating is the primary source of determining the age of fossils. Yet it is never consistent. Fossils, you know what fossils are. They're just the impressions of things that were once alive. And as living material turns to dust, it's replaced by the rock that is in that area. Now, there are about a dozen radioactive isotopes that can be found in various rocks, and they are used to measure the age of the rock material in that fossil. They measure the half-life of the isotope. The problem is, as one isotope is measured, it will give a supposed age range. And what's really interesting about this is, When someone sends a sample in to get dated, one of the first questions that they will be asked is, what layer did you find it in? So they can determine what ballpark they need to fit their measurement in. In fact, determining upon on what layer they find it in will actually determine what kind of radiometric dating they will use. But I'll just tell you that the problem is, as an isotope is measured, it will give a supposed age range. If a different isotope is measured, it will give a different age range, even if both isotopes are in the same sample. Okay, in fact, there have been, they've tested it. They've taken a sample, broke it in half, sent it to two different laboratories to have it tested, and got results back that were millions, sometimes billions of years apart. All right? So radiometric dating is never consistent. And yet they say it is the primary source used to support long ages. Here's the next thing the devil doesn't want you to know. Carbon-14 dating, which is slightly different from radiometric. Carbon-14 dating stops at 5,000 to 6,000 years. You cannot date carbon-14 past 5,000 to 6,000 years. It won't register. The main dating method used, and that's for dating material that was once alive. We contain carbon. So if they find something that is recent, within 6,000 years, it should still have carbon in it, and they can, by carbon-14, date it. And oddly enough, they can't measure beyond 5,000 to 6,000 years. Go figure. All right. The theory of evolution contradicts the second law of thermodynamics. Evolution is a theory, although that would be very strongly argued today. It has to have the terminology as a theory, but they would say that it's more than that today. But the evolution is a theory that has not been proved, or else it would be classified in science as a law. All right, it has to be substantiated. A law in nature is something that everything abides by. Okay, math is based in law, and in nature, 2 + 2 will always equal 4. It's a law. Well, I say that to tell you that the theory of evolution contradicts the second law of thermodynamics, which basically states, here's what the second law of thermodynamics states. It states that things left to themselves will always deteriorate. They will always break down into their least complex components. Evolution believes that we are becoming more complex. The truth is, there is no evidence for evolution. And again, we could spend weeks on this. In fact, as I was thinking about this lesson this afternoon, kind of running through it in my mind, there was so much more, because we could look at the evidence for creation. There is an abundance of it. Okay, we've looked at the lack of evidence for evolution. Well, there is an abundance of evidence for creationism. Did I say that wrong a minute ago? Did it come out right? All right. All right. You there? You just all sleeping. All right. There is no evidence for evolution. Again, it even contradicts a known law. Those are my nine reasons. And then the last two truths that I've got for you here. The truth is, atheism, evolution, is a religion. It's a religion. It's a religion that is based on blind faith and imagined evidence rather than observable truth. And its followers are some of the most deceived that there are in the world. Bill Nye talked about one of his old professors, Carl Sagan. We talked about Carl Sagan briefly last week as we talked about atheism. But atheist and evolutionist Carl Sagan catches himself in his own craftiness. Remember, we looked last week at a scripture in 1 Corinthians about the wisdom of God catching people, catching man in their wisdom, in their own craftiness. Well, evolutionist Carl Sagan catches himself in his own craftiness when he said this: "You can't convince a believer of anything, for their belief is not based on evidence, it's based on a deep-seated need to believe." Evolutionists have a deep-seated need to believe. Because if they don't believe that, then God is real. Therefore, atheism, evolution, is a religion. And the truth is, evolution was designed by the devil to keep people from Christ. I want to look at one more passage of Scripture, and it's in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, let me read to you verses 15 through 17 first. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God." And we're talking about Jesus Christ, the firstborn over all creation. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Why does the devil want to keep this information about Christ from people? Look at verses 19 through 22. "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Our adversary doesn't want us to know the truth about creation, because if we do, it will lead us to Christ. And that's where we're going to end tonight. We actually have 3 minutes. Any thoughts or questions? Gary.
In Genesis 3:1, where he twists the words to Eve, he twists the word science.
Okay.
Science is observing facts, but we've been convinced that science is just a person that makes things up.
That's what it is today for a good portion of it, for sure. Yep, yep.
Like all the dinosaurs and everything are drawings.
Right. And that like I said, that there's so much that we could look at on this topic. We see pictures all over the place. What do you mean, Craig, there's no transitionary evidence? There's pictures everywhere. It's like Gary said, they're drawings. They're things that people drew. It's amazing to me, even in museums, as you go to see Neanderthal man, okay, and those various faces, they don't know how much hair they had, but yet they deliberately add more and more hair through these models. Anyway, now they're putting feathers on dinosaurs. So, other comments, other questions? All right. All right.
Maybe there's a few things that we don't need to understand to figure out in our own minds how things came about and in the time elements and everything. Because the dinosaurs were created the same day as man.
Right.
Yet they're millions of years old.
Yeah, but they're not.
We don't know what they look like.
Yeah.
We only have scraps.
There's no way to prove that they're millions of years old. Because the radiometric... What's that?
Older than we are.
Not if they were created on day six.
Well, that's what I was coming to. That are we counting a day as 24 hours? Or
is there any reason not to?
Yes.
What?
If the dinosaurs were created the same day as we were, and they've been gone for millions of years.
Well, how would you prove that they've been gone for millions of years?
Oh, somebody told me.
That's what I was told, too. And I guess my point is that what they're using
If they were created the same time we were, and you say we were created, what?
Day six.
6,000 years ago.
6,000 years ago.
All of those are gone.
Flood.
Right. Yes, there were a lot of animals that died in the flood. Like I said, there's so much, and this is what I was kind of stewing over this afternoon. I was thinking through this lesson. There is so much more that we could look at. So let me just give you this, and we're going to close in prayer. Two websites. Oh, Joan has something, but two websites: Institute for Creation Research. They do incredible scientific work. ICR, Institute for Creation Research, plug in some of those questions, and they will go through in detail about the radiometric dating and how flawed it is, okay? And we have no evidence that dinosaurs existed millions of years ago. We have evidence that everything existed 6,000 years ago. The other one, so the Institute for Creation Research, check it out, and then Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis. Go in there. You can ask them any questions online. You can do searches, and they have really, really done an incredible job at showing what science really looks like compared to what's being done today. Joan. Very, very good point. Very good point. Until the fall of man, there was no death. Nothing died until Adam fell into sin. Check out Institute for Creation Research and Answers in Genesis. Like I said, Roger, I'll just tell you, you don't know how hard... Well, yes, you do know how hard it was for me to bend my mind around this when I first heard it. Okay? But the fact of the matter is the evidence that they are putting forth to support evolution does not exist. Microevolution does, but macro doesn't, okay? And there's no evidence for macroevolution. And the evidence that supports a literal six-day creation around about 6,000 years ago, the evidence is abundant. But just like Romans chapter 1, Men, in their unrighteousness, they are suppressing the truth. They see creation around them, see God's attributes in it, and they deny it. But anyway, I check out those websites. I think they'll be a big help. Jim?
I think the definition of dinosaur in the dictionary is a giant lizard. So people say, well, how do you get those dinosaurs into the ark?
Right.
But a lizard never stops growing. Well, back then, man would live 500, 600, 700 years. And so you could take baby lizards into the ark instead of full-grown ones.
I knew this was going to happen. No, I mean, because it's a big topic. It is there is so much, and I get so excited listening to you, and I want to share more. But we're looking at doctrines of demons. We've looked at the doctrine of evolution today, and go check out Institute for Creation and Answers in Genesis. We need to close in prayer. What's that?
And the
Flintstones, right? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I do thank you for your word to us. And Lord, I know how difficult it was for me. The first time I heard these things, to wrap my mind around what you are literally telling me in your word. Because I had heard the other side so much. And had it presented to me as fact. And I pray, Lord, that if there, I do think of Roger tonight, and pray, Lord, that you would just lead him to some information that would satisfy his questions. I thank you for the questions. I think of others that might be here tonight, that this information is just completely foreign to them. I pray that you would just lead those people to that information that might satisfy the questioning that arises, and I'm more convinced than ever now, Lord, that this is a doctrine of the adversary, and it is his most successful doctrine that he has ever propagated in modern times, and that is so evident. So I pray, Lord, that you would just equip us. That in love, not in an argumentative fashion, Lord, not in a mean or aggressive fashion defending the truth, but truly in love, Lord, that we would be able to look at your word and reason from it with a heart that desires to set captives free. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.